And tonight, as I mentioned this morning, Brother Daniel is going to be preaching for us, and I'm so grateful to get to have him serve alongside of me, and I'm grateful for he and Kyle and the team that God has assembled. Of course, there's other folks that labor here in the office and in the buildings, and these two pastoral staff are a wonderful, wonderful blessing to me. Brother Daniel has been here over 10 years, and as you know from the timeline, that's longer than me. And so I'm grateful that God has left him here. He's very capable and would have plenty of opportunities to go pastor a church himself. But I believe he walks with the Lord, and he is trying to honor God and follow God. And God has seen fit to bless us by leaving him here, and I'm grateful for that. His family is a blessing, and he is a blessing. And so I count it a great privilege to get to labor alongside with him. And he handles the word very, very well, and I'm thankful for that as well. So, Brother Daniel, you come preach to us. We're certainly glad to get to hear you as you preach the Bible tonight.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, it is a joy to be here, and it's a joy to be able to be the on staff here at the church. So thank you, Pastor, for all that you said. I think I'm more blessed by the opportunity than the church is blessed by me. And so we are thankful for our opportunity to serve here. We're thankful that God is allowing us to have a family that serves alongside of us. And in case you didn't hear last week or mentioned this morning, the new one that God's going to bring our way, whether it be a girl or a boy, we'll be thankful for whichever that would be. And so we're looking forward to all that God has for us as a family, as a church family during this season. But take your Bibles and turn to Psalm number 23. Psalm 23 is a psalm that many of us could quote if we tried. If we were maybe put to the pressure, we might stumble a little bit, but I think most of us know it well enough. But I'm not going to ask you to quote it with me, but I do want you to read it out loud with me, which is something we don't normally do, but read it out loud with me. So I'll give you a moment to find this and make this mention as you find this. The presence of the shepherd makes all the difference for the sheep. Psalm 23. We're going to read it together, beginning verse number 1. Ready? Begin. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Our shepherd tonight, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to be in church. We thank you for this church, but more than the church, the buildings, and the people. We are thankful for the God of this church, our shepherd. Lord, I'm asking for your leadership now. As I have been given this privilege to open your word, I recognize, Lord, that it is not what I can give them that these people need, but what you as their shepherd desire to give to them through me. And so, Father, I pray you'd feed your sheep tonight. I pray that you would use me. And I pray you'd bless this service in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the holiday season is upon us. Whether you were aware of that or not, a couple days ago was Black Friday. Tomorrow is Cyber Monday. If you've not gotten in your deals, then you ought to get online tonight and start shopping, because the deals are going to pass you by. And it's be a tragedy if you don't get those jacked up prices that they could bring back down with those deals that they offer for these sale days. But the truth of it is, it seems like most of the sentiments that we carry into this time of year reflect anything but the sentiments that are conveyed for us in this passage of Scripture. Instead of peace, at this season of peace, we have anxiety. Instead of rest, we rush. Instead of worship, we often are worried about the next thing that we're supposed to be doing. Instead of celebrating, we wish it was already over. Instead of happiness, there's many times for some an undercurrent of sorrow. This may be the first holiday season, and maybe that's true for some that are in the room tonight, the first holiday season without a loved one. And this is a time where many are excited, and yet many are sorrowful. There is supposed to be contentment. We just finished up Thanksgiving, and yet many times there's more dissatisfaction than there is contentment. Instead of significance, we often find emptiness. And this psalm presents for us a very different reality that God intends to be the outgrowth of our relationship with Him. We fill our schedules with so many engagements during the holiday season that we often have very little time to take advantage of the truths that are embedded in this precious psalm. Psalm number 23 is one that we oftentimes find quoted or preached from or mentioned at funerals, and yet it's really a psalm that is much broader than that. We don't know exactly when David wrote the 23rd psalm. There's a lot of speculation about every psalm, exactly when David wrote it. Oftentimes would key into some of the purpose that he was trying to get across in that particular psalm. But this one is one that you could just as well imagine him writing as a young shepherd boy as the shepherd king later on in his life. And really, it's that reality about the psalm presents for us this fact that this psalm is a psalm for all of life. No matter what stage or season you're in, no matter what the holiday season is going to look like for you, or life in general, just minus the holidays, is going on for you, this psalm and the truths conveyed in it about our God are things that we need to carry with us as we go forward. If we are going to have the spirit that God intends for us to have, we need to learn what it means when David conveys the thoughts of the shepherd. As David goes through this psalm, he points out many wonderful things, but I want to draw your attention to what he says at the end of verse number 2. It says, I'll read the whole verse. It says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Still waters. Is that the description of your heart today? Is that what you expect to be the nature of your experience during the holiday season? What we're going to do in just over the next 25 specifically days, and maybe different for some as opposed to others. There's travel, there's different things that go on, different ways of celebrating. But regardless of what this next month specifically you know is going to hold for you, do you expect it to be one that is typified by that phrase? Still. The still waters that God provides. David points to this because he wants you and I to experience what God alone can provide. Because as I said a few minutes ago, the presence of the shepherd makes all the difference for the sheep. Jesus came into the world at what we celebrate at Christmas time, and he is referred to by many, many titles, but one of them is that he is the Prince of Peace. He came to bring all of these things, and yet when we celebrate him, we often miss the point. And so I wanted to take a few moments and unpack Psalm number 23 in a way that I hope will stick with you as you go throughout the holidays and beyond, so that you can look back at this and you can think, that is what God wants me to have because of my relationship with him. And so the very first thing we're going to notice that the shepherd king has to say about the shepherd is that, first of all, there has to be the personal relationship that David refers to here. Again, in verse number 1, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." I want you to notice the people that are mentioned here. The first thing is, obviously, the first person that's mentioned here is the Lord. The name here referred to, the Lord, is the name for God, Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God, the God who keeps his promises. And I think it's very important to connect those dots. You know, nothing in the Word of God is there by accident. Every word is important. That's why God gave it to us. And the Jehovah God who keeps the covenants that he makes with his people is the shepherd. God is never going to fail in his shepherding work. I want you to think about just a few things. We sang this morning some wonderful songs about praising him and crowning him. And we try to, through the music in our church and through all the other things that we do, try to lift up the Lord. And I want you to notice a few things about your shepherd tonight. Your shepherd is strong. Psalm 89 verses 8 through 13 say, O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee? Or to thy faithfulness round about thee. Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine. The earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm. Strong is thy hand, and thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Your shepherd is kind. Psalm 117 says, for his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise ye the Lord. He's loving. Jeremiah reminds us, the Lord hath appeared of old and said unto me, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. He is present. Psalm 46, verse 1 reminds us God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He is faithful. Thy faithfulness in Psalm 119, it says, is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. He is able and he is ready. In Psalm 121, verses 2 and 3, it says, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. That's your shepherd. If you need help, you call someone who can help you. If I needed some help with some different work around the house, if I knew something had broken and I needed to fix it, I would not just find some random person in my contacts and be like, hey, I've got this problem. I would probably call Jim McGee, right? Because Jim can fix everything. And you call someone that you know can do something about the problem that you have. When you need help, you go to the person who has the ability to do it. And this evening, I want to remind you that your shepherd is big enough for your problems. Amen. That your shepherd has what it takes to see you through. The people that are involved, we very noticeably see the shepherd. But when you have a shepherd, you have sheep. And sheep are like the opposite of the shepherd. Sheep are weak, relatively helpless, extremely skittish. They're basically blind. They do have good memories, but their fear often overrides their memory in an instant. Sheep will wander. Sheep cannot do it alone. God can do anything he wants. He didn't need us. He still doesn't need us. There's not one aspect of God's existence that is dependent on what you and I do here tonight. But everything about my existence is dependent upon what he does tonight. Amen. I couldn't breathe without my shepherd. We have the shepherd. We have the sheep. But in this personal relationship, there has to be possession. Notice how he refers to the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. It is a great thing to be able to say the Lord is my shepherd. It's not enough to own him as a shepherd, because that would just equate him with all the rest of the founders of the world religions. It's not enough to refer to him as the shepherd, because that just sets him apart from all of the rest. We must establish a personal relationship with him and say that he is my shepherd. We have to pause long enough in the busyness of life to look to Jesus as the real guide, as a real interactive person. He's not some force that we refer to. Certainly, we've never seen him, but he is real. And he wants to be close to you. He, as I said a minute ago, he is a very present help in trouble. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He comes to dwell within us as his children at salvation. And yet many times I believe that there is about as much room in our heart and our attention for Jesus all year long as we remember that the innkeeper and the inn had for Jesus at his birth. And that is none. We just go on and we just don't think enough about it. But I'm challenging you, if you want to experience the joy of the shepherd, remember that he is your shepherd. All that he does, all that he can do, he wants to do it for you. Forget about everybody else in the room tonight. That's okay. I mean, yeah, we want to, after church, we're going to want you to talk to people and encourage people and be a blessing. And there's going to be people practicing, and you're going to have to do all of that stuff after church tonight. But right now, just think about your shepherd and you and him alone. There is a personal relationship. There is a peaceful restoration referred to in this psalm. Verse number 2 says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. To restore something means to restore it to a previous state or path, as we see the paths referred to in this passage. It's to bring back to life that which was wasted and ruined. It is to nourish that which is within. And that is exactly what God desires to do in the relationship with you. But that was the role of the shepherd in the Old Testament. The role of a shepherd was a very honored and revered thing in Old Testament days. By the time you get to the New Testament, the viewpoint of the shepherds had changed drastically. But in the Old Testament, all of the patriarchs had been shepherds. They had all taken care of flocks of some kind, whether it was sheep or something else. And the people of God revered the idea of a shepherd because they knew that what the shepherd was there to do was to live his life so that the sheep would have what he needed. The shepherd was going to perform what the sheep needed him to perform, whether the sheep understood it or whether they did not. And that is exactly what God is going to do for you. Sometimes I am guilty of going through life trying to make sure things just kind of work out the way that I need them to work out. I need this, or we need to do this, or we've got to take care of all of these things, and we need to have all of this thing lined up, or I just need a day that we can just kind of chill for a second, or whatever the case may be. But you know, my shepherd knows what I need better than I do. And sometimes it's very easy to get anxious about how things are going to work out. And there's two things I need to be reminded of. God is never anxious about anything. And God knows exactly what I actually am in need of, so that he can lead me. As it says, he maketh me to lie down. What he does here is he takes this idea of restoring our soul, and David embeds three different ways that God does that. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Yeah, I like to eat. Everybody probably knows that about me. I love Thanksgiving. It's awesome. And Christmas, for the fact that we get to eat around Christmas, is going to be pretty great too. And then every other meal is pretty much a celebration in my life. But to eat laying down, right? That's what he's talking about. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Just come up over here and just lay down and eat for a sheep. I don't lay down and eat, just so you know. But what he's trying to say here is you can come to a place of perfect safety and sufficient provision to have everything that you need to nourish you. And he's going to bring you right there. And when you're lying down, you're resting. You know, God is going to provide for you. People spend way too much money at Christmas time. Every year, I think I look up just how much does people spend for Christmas gifts. And it's just astronomically way out there. And I was reading a news report earlier. It said people are spending more. This was the biggest Black Friday that we've had in years. And all of this kind of stuff. And the first comment that I read after on the news article was like, yeah, well, spending on credit is never a good thing. Just because people are spending more doesn't mean a good thing. And that's true. People spend way more money than they ever should because they think they need all of these things. But let me remind you, if you've got, I don't know, there's kids in here. If you've got a Christmas list, kids, you don't need what's on your Christmas list for your life to be what God wants it to be. Adults, you don't need what's on your Christmas list for your life to be what God wants it to be. He will lead you to the green pastures that will nourish your soul. He will lead you beside the still waters. Generally speaking, water for sheep came from three different sources: dew on grass, deep wells, and slow flowing streams. Most people don't realize that a sheep can go for weeks on end without ever actually taking a drink. Because what they'll do, the shepherd will make sure that they're in a place where there's plenty of lush grass, and they will get up before the sun rises, and they will eat the grass that is covered in dew. And all of that water is sufficient water for them to nourish them in the thirst that they have. And there is no stiller water than dew. God knows how to just set aside this perfect sustenance for your heart. And this is what I'm saying. When I introduced this message tonight, I was trying to set the stage for you to think about the contrast that is very apparent, because everything that I'm talking about tonight often is seen in its opposite as people go throughout their lives. And we live busy. We have hectic lives. People are rushing here and there. And you know, that's actually not a new sentiment about American culture. I've read a lot of history, and I've read a lot of different things. And all the way back at the founding of our country, it apparently was true that the people would come over from England and come over from Europe, and the predominant sentiment that people had about Americans even then was they're always in a hurry. And so, and in case we think that it's actually unique, that we're in a unique day and we've just kind of do things a little bit different, let me remind you today that mankind has always been needing to slow down a little bit so that we can direct our attention to what God wants for us. Don't rush by. You know, the sheep that rush by the provision that God made for them, that the shepherd made for them, they're generally the sheep that the shepherd has to go looking for. You know, that a sheep separated from his shepherd is always considered lost. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've gone everyone our own way. Now, that was a reference to our need for salvation, but this is a spiritual truth for God's children, that when we wander outside of the provision of God and the direction, the paths of righteousness is the next thing that's referred to. When we wander outside of the paths of righteousness as God's sheep, we are way off, and we are the one of the 90 and 9 that the shepherd needs to come looking for. Don't try to do it yourself. Try to find out what the shepherd desires to give to you, what he has for you. So there is this aspect of our restoration that's provided for as well. And then the final thing I see in this psalm for us to focus on is there's a protected reality for the sheep. Most of the biblical imagery presented for us about the sheep and the shepherd in the Bible is all peaceful. You think about all the things that we've already read, and there's been so much of that. But you know that the life of a shepherd was anything but peaceful. You think about what a shepherd would have had to do to take care of sheep. Live for months on end, most of the time, away from their home, making sure the sheep were able to go from one pasture to another, from one watering hole to another, having the things that they need, so that then when the time of the sheep shearing came, they'd been fed well, they had been provided for, they had been protected, and so that their wool would be nice and rich and would be tangle-free and scar-free. And you don't have a lush cutting of wool off of a sheep unless a shepherd has worked around the clock to make sure those silly, skittish, and yes, sometimes stupid animals were protected enough to have that reality about their life so that they could be a nice, happy, fluffy little sheep. But shepherds were not fluffy. They were hard. Men who were used to sleeping out in the cold and in the rain, standing there at the door of the sheep so that wolves and lions and bears could not get in. And when the occasion demanded it, as David explained to us when he was a shepherd, fighting those animals off. These were men that were used to the reality of going through hard things so that the sheep could think that everything in the world was just happy and peaceful all of the time. A good shepherd makes the world seem safe for the sheep. And your shepherd is going to guide you through life in such a way that if you trust in him, while hard things will happen, people get sick, people do pass away, our shepherd knows what we need, so he doesn't keep all of those things from us. But if you'll trust in your shepherd, he will guide you through all of that in such a way that the remaining verses that we see are abundantly true. What David does near the end of this psalm is he points us in several different directions. And this is where we're going to wrap up our thoughts for tonight, because everywhere you look for the shepherd, you find him. Everywhere you look for the shepherd, you find him. You just have to look for him. He says, when I look around me, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, around me, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He says, I see these things. I see shadows. Shadows, you know, what are shadows? They're dark. They suggest hidden dangers. Shadows can be frightening. They can be larger than the thing that they're actually portraying. But you know what one thing about shadows are? They're not real. They have no substance. They're actually evidences of light. You'd have no shadow if you had no light. Shadows pass. And shadows are found in the middle of the psalm, not at the end. I see security as I look around me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, the rod that the shepherds carried was more like a club that they would carry to protect their sheep. Their staff would be the typical thing you'd think about, maybe not always with the crook on the end of it, but the rod and the staff provided comfort because it provided protection. It provided a guiding hand, so to speak, to know the path that was supposed to be taken. I see the security that God, the shepherd, provides, and I see when I look around me, I see the shepherd. For thou art with me. When I look around me, when I look ahead of me, he says, moving on to verse number 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. When I look ahead of me, I see a place. A table would have not been a table like you're probably thinking necessarily in the reference of a sheep. A table would have been a high place that they would have led the sheep to. That probably just a small, narrow path to get up to that would have been protected from the onslaught of wild animals, because the shepherd could get them there. They could watch around and see if anything's coming. It's got to come that way, and I can watch that way. And so the sheep are safe here. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I am safe from mine enemies here to get the thing that I need. When I look after me, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When I look back at my life thus far, Pastor said we've been here for 10 years, and it has been amazing. We're thankful, as he said, that God has seen fit to leave us here. The privilege of our lives is to serve at Buffalo Ridge, and we are so thankful, and we're not going anywhere because we just want to keep seeing what God's going to do here. But when I look back, I just get to see one thing after another of all that God has done. And when you see what God has done, it reminds you that he's not done, and he has more to do. And when I look above me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's hard not to be peaceful in our hearts when we are reminded of how good the shepherd is. So how's your heart tonight? Is it still? You know, anxiety is taking on responsibility that belongs to God. Don't be anxious or worried or so hasty this holiday season and beyond that you forget the shepherd who's right there with you, leading you beside the still waters to the restoration of your soul for all that he has for you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We'll have the ladies come, and when they get to the piano this evening, you can play. There's a lot that cries out for our attention. The way that God deals with us, oftentimes, he's not the one crying out. Many times, he's just waiting for us to recognize the shepherd and turn to him. During this holiday season, I know you're going to be busy, but I want to challenge you to meditate on the shepherd. Jesus came into this world to provide the ultimate fulfillment of this truth, because he wanted to be as the word, the name that was given to him. He wanted to be Emmanuel, God with us. Don't miss the joy of having the Lord, Jehovah God, with you, your shepherd. Let's all stand together. If God has spoken to your heart this evening, I'd encourage you to make your way to the front and just pray and ask the Lord to help you reclaim the joy of your salvation, by finding that the Lord is your strength. Maybe it'd just be time to come and just thank Him for who He is and for all that He's done. Maybe it'd just be time to come and say, Lord, I've been a sheep that's been astray. I have gone my own way. I've not really followed the path of righteousness that you have laid out for me. Maybe you come and say, I need that. Maybe today you'd say, Brother Daniel, I'm not even sure that He is my shepherd. Maybe you don't know what it really means or what it's really like to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But what that really means is that you've put your faith in Him to save you from your sins. Pastor's down front. If you would like to talk to him or talk to one of us afterwards about what it means to put your faith in Him so you can have a genuine relationship with God through Jesus Christ, so that you can claim Him as your shepherd, there'd be no better way to spend the last day, the last moments of November, than putting your faith in Jesus Christ and finding what it means to have a shepherd to guide you through life. We need the shepherd. Let's let Him lead us. Father, thank You for allowing us to study Your word tonight. I pray that these thoughts have been a blessing to this group tonight. I pray that some of the things that You've led me to say would stick with all of us. I needed this study this week as we go forward in our lives, because we need what You have prepared for us. We need You to lead us. And we want to walk Your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul panteth after Thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship Thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To You alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship Thee. Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Brother Daniel, for a great message. Thank you to the Lord for the way He spoke to my heart, and I appreciate that. And I'm thankful for God's team that He has put together here at Buffalo Ridge. We are blessed beyond what I could explain tonight, and so thank God for all that He has done. I did have one objection. Daniel started messing with our Christmas list, and I've really got some things for that old Camaro. I'd like to have a Hurst shifter knob, and I've got it high on my list, but he said I don't need it. But I can still get it, he says. Okay, good. I know I don't need it, but boy, it would be nice to have, I tell you for sure. But what a wonderful message. Thank God for that, and thank the Lord for He and His family being here, and we're blessed again, as I mentioned. Well, it's good to have each of you here tonight. It's good to have Elizabeth Radford McNally back there, and let's be honest, we really just like to have Emily and Eugene's grandson. That's all they cared about. I mean, I'm sure that they just say, well, we're glad to have you come, Elizabeth. Just bring the boy. Just bring the baby. So thank the Lord for her, and thank for each of you being here tonight, and we are grateful. Let's walk out of this place with thanksgiving in our hearts. Somebody said it earlier today that it ought not to be just that we do that in Thanksgiving time. That's supposed to be the model of our life. We're just thankful. And Kenny Bald, when he was here, said something like, thankfulness is the vaccine against entitlement. And I think he's so right. If we're not careful to give thanks to the Lord for what He's given, we just get entitled and we just expect things and we don't take a thankful look at it. So Brother Daniel, thank you so much again, and I pray that you will fellowship together with those as you leave tonight. It's been a wonderful place to be, and so we're grateful for that. Have a wonderful evening. God bless. You're dismissed.